Hello and welcome to the 79th episode of Popcorn Optional, a weekly movies podcast where we talk all things movies. Tonight we're here to review the middle tier of DCEU movies, if there is such a thing. And we're here to review Aquaman, the new film from James Wan starring Jason Momoa, Nicole Kidman, Amber Heard, Willem Dafoe, Patrick Wilson. Yeah, bunch of fun people. Am I missing anybody in that? There's nobody big. Dolph Lundgren. How could I forget Dolph Lundgren?
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland?
Yeah, she's in this and she's not in Mary Poppins.
You mean Julie Andrews?
Whatever.
Judy Garland is the Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Huh.
Clearly, I'm the worst at names.
That's okay.
At names with movies.
That's why I'm here to help. That's why
I'm trying to make a joke.
Ready? Camera, three, two, one. And who's not in this, Jake?
Julie Garland.
Yeah, Julie Andrews. There we go. All right, I'm Cameron Slanina. I'm joined tonight by Jake Brown for a review of Aquaman. Just a review, nothing else. Let's go ahead and let's get into it.
My man. Yeah.
Not enough yeahs in this film.
Not enough yeahs or my man.
Yeah, I would gladly...
Right. Thanks for being here. See you guys next week.
I give this
film was our review on Aquaman.
4 out of 5 yeahs.
Yeah.
Little
John and the East Side Boys with Aquaman as the featured guest on the track.
That would be better than Pitbull covering Africa by Toto.
It absolutely would have been. Yeah. And I mean, we're just jumping right into it.
Guys, the greatest part of this movie is that there's a cover of Toto's Africa by Pitbull called Ocean to Ocean. You don't even need to buy a ticket to go listen to that. You can go to YouTube right now and listen to that song.
It's the weirdest song. It's like such a weird mishmash of things, which kind of sums up this movie, honestly. So let's get into it.
All right. So let's talk comic history, kind of cultural significance of this character. I mean, what did you know about this character going in outside of the DCEU?
I think I knew a little bit more than most people about Aquaman. Like, he kind of is a joke in culture, which, you know, based on like the known powers of Aquaman, of him being able to talk to fish and swim fast. Yeah, that's kind of a joke of a superhero. But like, when you really get into who Aquaman is as a character, he's actually a really interesting like setup for a character, and is easily like the third or fourth most powerful hero in the DC comic universe, with powers and abilities that easily rival Wonder Woman and Superman. And he has one of the only weapons that could kill Superman or Darkseid. So like, the dude's legit. And so I like Aquaman. I don't like read the comics or anything, but I think I'm more aware of him than most people.
Yeah, I knew very little outside of Superman and Batman. I didn't read a whole lot of DC comics. Obviously, I know stuff about him just from pop culture and whatnot. I have watched the failed pilot for the CW TV show on Aquaman.
It is so bad.
It is very bad. It came out the same time around Smallville and was terrible. So I knew that. But that's about it. What are your overall thoughts on Aquaman?
Pro Aquaman.
So Jake, in the show notes, you brought up a very interesting point, and I think that we should address this. Are we grading this movie as a straight movie, or are we grading this against the curve of the rest of the DCEU?
I think every movie needs to stand on its own 2 feet, but this is within a universe that they're trying to create. So I think we'll grade it as a film, and then like, where does it stand within the DCEU at the end?
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I think what I texted initially when I got out of this was that this is one of the most like bipolar films I've ever seen. It has very high highs and very low lows.
Let me just give you my overall thoughts that I wrote in my car when I got out of the theater. And I'm going to read this to you word for word because I have the note pulled up here in front of me. Okay. Quote, Jake Brown. holy crap, this movie is all over the place. It's almost like a joke. It's way too long. The dialogue might be the worst of the year, but it's so off the wall nuts. Like, I know it's bad, but it's also like so fun. It's so ridiculous and so bad. It's just a giant combination of Finding Nemo and Indiana Jones and Thor and The Lost World and the Wilhelm Scream and sharks with laser beams on their freaking heads and literal crab people. But god damn it, I had so much fun with this stupid movie and I don't even know or care or what is happening. That's my review.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
That about sums it up. I think that's the end of our review.
Guys, there's crab people in this movie.
There's crab
actual
people.
Crab people.
There's fish people. There's a giant, powerful monster.
Laser beams on their freaking heads. Like,
this is Dr. Evil's fantasy.
It is. And it's this like... It's kind of Indiana Jones, but not quite. It's like kind of Thor, but not quite. This might be the worst script of the year. Like, oh my God, this script is so bad.
Whenever this movie talks, it's bad. But whenever it stops talking, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's such a fun movie. But it's a bad movie, but it's bad enough to be good.
Yeah.
Which,
and there's like, there's so many
cliches. People are
going to
be like, you're just hating on the DCEU, blah, blah, blah. No, like, go read this script without all the fancy CGI and James Wan's great visual direction. Just go read the script and tell me this is a good script. It's right. Not. It's a bad script. But the charisma and the fun that the actors are having and just, you know, it works. It works for some reason, even though in a lot of ways it doesn't. It still works.
I think one of the reasons why the script doesn't work is because every chance that a character has to say a cliched statement, they say a cliched statement. Like,
yeah,
any opportunity where someone could say something like, the only thing that comes to my mind is a spoiler, but the very end of the film, okay, spoilers. If you want to go see this movie and you haven't seen it, it's been out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, go see it. Honestly, it's fun. You will have fun with this movie.
It is fun.
I would recommend it. But the only thing that pops in my head when I think about cliched lines is at the end when she's like, and it's in the trailer, but it's like, what's more than a hero or what's more than a king? A hero. And it's just like, that's the most cliched thing that you could have said in that moment. Like, it's dialogue wise, just cliche after cliche, but story building and adventure wise, I had a lot of fun with this movie. I found myself being like, this is interesting. Like, I'm on board with like this, with Jason Momoa as Aquaman, with this world, all of this. I'm like, hey, I'm interested.
Are we in spoilers?
Right, we are now? In spoilers.
Okay. What did you think about like the overall plot? Like, to me, it felt really video gamey, if that makes sense.
So by that, you mean like, are you saying that you think that it's very much like one stage, beat a boss, one stage, beat a boss, one stage, beat a boss?
Yeah, it's like you beat the bad guy, you move on to this next level. Oh, you got to go get this thing. Oh, we got that thing. Beat these bad guys, go to the next thing. Like, it just felt like go on this magic quest to get the magic item, to beat the magic person. You know, it just felt very like I'm playing a role-playing game. And it was fine. Like, the film, like we said, is fun. I would recommend it. I had fun in the theater. But the plot for me with the bad dialogue left a lot to be desired. And I would say a very forced romantic subplot with zero chemistry.
I'm going to tell you my number one rule for this film. Just don't ask questions. Second that you start peeling a little bit beyond what you see, everything falls apart. Like, how come some people can breathe above water and some can't? I understand that there's this like royalty thing, but it's like
royal blood.
That's not a
high
really
blood or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I don't buy that. Then on top of that, maybe it's just me, but Mera seems more powerful than Aquaman. Like, she can control water. She can do like
and
all
why
these
can
different...
she control water? Why can no one else control water?
Right.
These are the questions that I have.
There's so many moments like that, though, in the movie that it's like, why? why would you give this character that power but not the person who's supposed to be the most powerful character? And I get it. He's coming into his own. He's trying to figure things out. But still, why? Like, unless that, like, that was your point.
So
that's how it is?
That's, yeah, that's Mera is like that in the comics, and Aquaman becomes like one of the most powerful characters. Like you said, he's still coming into his own, and with the Trident, he's able to do a lot of like crazy things if they do open up what all the Trident can do, like it can in the comics.
But that's I think that's another problem with mine is like Thor spent three movies learning that like what makes Thor powerful isn't Mjolnir. What makes Thor powerful is Thor, and it's like this movie just. And maybe they get to that point. Maybe movie three is him fighting somebody on a planet as that person's a gladiator, and then his brother. Like, you could literally do this movie as Thor, and
but
it would
in
work.
Reverse.
Yeah.
What did you think about like all of the casts and their performances?
I think some people do a good job. I think others do the best that they can with what they're given. For example, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who plays David Kane, Black Manta. I think that that's an interesting idea for a villain, and I like where the character is going. That being said, he's not given a lot to work with. And what he is given to work with is kind of like, I don't care about the money. I only care about killing Aquaman. And like you mean to tell me in the middle of this like pirate ship or like as they're like pirating this ship that his dad turns around and is like, hey, I want to give you this knife that was been passed down for years. And it's like, no,
in the middle
no,
of
no,
a
no.
mission, dad.
Right. Nobody's going to take off their mask in the middle of this kind of a mission. That's not how this.
Yeah.
So
he's
I think
good B villain that doesn't need to be in this movie. Like,
right.
That was totally just a setup for him to be in the next movie.
Right. Patrick Wilson's fine. I feel like he's the one that's worked with James Wan the most between The Conjuring and all that kind of stuff, that it's almost like he feels comfortable in that and like knows how to work with him. I actually really like Jason Momoa as this character. I think he does a good job.
Yeah. I think Jason Momoa is kind of one-dimensional, but he's really well casted in this role for what they're going for with Aquaman. Yeah. He's like one-dimensional, but like in a cool macho way, you know?
He's one-dimensional like The Rock.
Exactly.
The Rock only does one character?
Yeah, he's a puzzle piece, and if you put him in the right puzzle, he just completes the whole puzzle. But if you put him in the wrong puzzle, it's bad news bears. I'll
I think Amber
really
Heard
quick,
does
like,
a fine
hit.
Job as well, but I
yeah
like, well, that red oh, hair is I, such a just a weird choice.
Okay, so I also wrote down my thoughts of the cast when I got into my car because traffic was bad, and I was like, I'll just put down some notes. So what I put down for Patrick Wilson, who I love Patrick Wilson, I think he's a really great actor, but this is just one of those situations of a great actor given a terrible script and terrible hair. and same with Amber Heard. I wrote, oh, this is mean. Her terrible wig has more charm than she does.
Ooh.
And I don't like her. I don't know. I
think she does good. It's once again, she does good with what she's given, but I don't feel I like guess. This is meant to be like, I feel
I just
like
don't think
her,
she's good, she just felt like eye candy, honestly.
But I think that's more of a writing issue than it is her in
yes.
that role, in all fairness to
absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think that like she does a bad job in the role. I think that she's just very much as this like love interest who, unfortunately, as powerful as she is, isn't ever given the credit or respect as that powerful character.
Yeah. Her performance in this character isn't great because the character is written poorly, which is
right.
a nicer way of saying what I said, basically. No. you're right. Willem Dafoe stole the freaking show every time he was on the screen. Huge fan. And then Dolph Lundgren. Yeah, Dolph Lundgren. He's there.
He's
fine. He's underwater. Nicole Kidman feels like she's in another movie, but I'm okay with it.
Did you buy the romantic relationship between her and Aquaman's dad?
I didn't buy a lot in this movie, Cameron. That was one of those things where it was kind of like, you know, it's fine. You're doing it. Is it working? Not 100%, but are you given enough for it to like, for me to buy into it a little bit? Yeah. Like it didn't feel like they were in different, totally different movies. I don't know who that character, the guy who was playing the dad, he was not very good. I felt like Nicole Kidman did a pretty good job, but he did not do great.
What did you think of the visuals? CGI, was it meh? Ugh. Was it good? Was it? Dude, I'm more on the side of like, yeah. There are times, it's like, once again, bipolar. There are times where the CGI is great. And then there are times where it's like, what is, that's the big budget supposed to look like?
They never felt underwater to me, which is kind of a big deal. Considering how much of your movie is taking place underwater. Like, I don't know. It felt so plasticky. It felt like they were behind, that's what it was, behind a film of plastic instead of being underwater.
So it's old, almost like an old Méliès film where they put like a fish tank in front of the lens to be like, you're underwater.
Yes, it did. Like, I understand Finding Nemo is an animated film, but it came out like, what, 15 years ago? That had better water effect and animation than this did. And like the boat, oh my God, the boat that they were on, it looked terrible. I think if you, it was really rough. But besides that, some CGI is fantastic. A lot of the cinematography and camera work is impressive, but a little distracting at times. Production and character design is fantastic, besides the aforementioned hair and makeup department with like Mara's hair and stuff. I loved the idea of the different like Atlantean races evolving into different types of mythical creatures. That was really a cool thing, which I'm sure came from the comics, but I haven't read the comics. But like, dude, the trench scene, that was the scene that I was like, whoa, that
the
was
the scene where they dive,
it took my breath away
with the flare, and you like get this almost like flat screen view of them diving and the monsters swarming around them. That was the part
it was
like
a Renaissance painting.
Yes. That's and a great way to phrase that.
Yeah. The drumming octopus, favorite character in the whole movie.
Yep.
No, the visuals are great. Like this world is great. I want to spend more time in Atlantis. Like, I'm excited for Aquaman 2, for him to be the king. It felt very Asgard, very Wakanda. Like, I'm excited to see this other place, you know?
That's something that I do want to commend the film on, is like the design of everything looks really cool. Sometimes how well it's executed was iffy, but like Atlantis looks really cool. The whole like world building of the trench and of whatever the monster that Julie Andrews plays, the Carathen, all of that. And like the whole idea of this like trench area where Nicole Kidman lives, this like underwater center of the earth type thing. Like, I'm on board with all the world building that they did in this. That set up some really cool stuff that I'm excited about.
The center of the world thing for me, when he like popped up and there was dinosaurs on the beach, I was like, wait a minute. What is happening?
Okay, come on. You gotta suspend disbelief a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I had no suspension of disbelief in this movie.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a bad thing for me to say, considering that right before that you had just watched fish monsters take over a boat.
Yes. Yeah. And I was so down with it. And then it was just like teleportation. Now we're in the lost world. I was like, wait a minute. Also, why is Nicole Kidman all of a sudden like the mom from Ant-Man 2? Like, what is happening? That was interesting. It was fine.
Anything you want to say about the music in this movie? We've talked a little bit about Pitbull.
Yes. So this is exactly like what you were saying, if it's just bipolar. Great score. Like, the score is actually fantastic. I was listening to it earlier as I was putting together the show notes. The score is great. The soundtrack is atrocious. And like, Rupert Gregson Williams was the guy who wrote the score, the composer, and he creates this very traditional score with like flourishes of the modern. It feels very much like a movie on the high seas with high tech, which is what this is. It feels like an Eric Korngold meets Hans Zimmer. And Korngold was the biggest inspiration for John Williams for Star Wars. He wrote all the classic scores for the classic, like, Pirate on the High Seas films that they don't make anymore because they're so expensive. But oh my God, the soundtrack is so bad. That Pitbull song, when the like Toto Africa hook came on, I sank in my chair. I was, what? Why? And then the most frustrating part is the incredible song from the trailer, Sidewinder by Ghost Rider Music in the last trailer. It isn't in this. Like, how was that not the Aquaman theme? Like, you're Warner Brothers. Just pay the freaking guy. It like that trailer to me, that music is now the Aquaman theme, and we don't get it.
It makes me curious, like, how much was James Wan's decision and how much was, like, the studio forcing him to do certain things? Just because it's, like...
Yeah.
It's almost like, and I don't mean to, like, if these are James Wan bits, fine, that's okay. But there's very much, like, this... It feels at times like you can almost see the studio's hand in certain scenes.
Oh, absolutely. That Pitbull scene, like slow-mo walking out of the water. I bless the rains down in there. Oh, Mr. Worldwide. I was just like, oh my, ugh, I died.
But he is bit. Mr. Worldwide, and this film is about the seven seas.
Stop it. Don't even give them a reason to justify what they did. So back to serious question on sound. Dialogue underwater. Was that an issue for you?
No, but like, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, like technical things like that, I tend to just kind of like gloss over. It's only apparent to me when it's either really bad or really good. If it's just fine and it doesn't really take away, then I'm fine because I'm so focused on the characters and the story and the like trying to be on the ride, which probably makes me not as great of a critic as I probably should be because I'm so focused on other things. But to me, it's just like, something that I just kind of was like, okay, yeah, they breathe underwater or they talk underwater. It was never really like distracting. It was just kind of, okay, there it is. What was more distracting. Like, okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say like the way that they did it with like the reverbiness. I don't know. It just felt
It didn't bother me.
Why you had this issue with Bane. Why are you messing with people's vocals? Like it, I don't know. I felt like if we're in a world that's mostly taking place underwater and we're mostly seeing it from the perspectives of the Atlanteans. Do we have to have it be this reverby? I feel like they would probably have ears that are developed to hear a little bit better than this. I don't know. I'm overanalyzing, but that's...
Once again, it's like, if I start pulling that string a little bit too much, the whole ball is going to unravel. And
yes,
I had fun, and I'm going to focus on that, as naive as that may be. And to anybody out there that just says that we're then just Marvel fanboys and DC haters, I'm clearly choosing to ignore several huge errors that normally would bother me. But in this case, I'm just like, you know, I had fun. I'm going to focus on that.
True. True. Good point.
How much experience do you have with James Wan film? I've talked about how I'm not like a really big horror person, and so I don't have a ton of experience with him. On the other hand, I am a huge Fast and the Furious person, and he directed Fast and the Furious 7, so respect. But
So I love James Wan. I'm a big fan of good horror films, and I think James Wan kind of saved horror films with The Conjuring. Honestly, that's one of my favorite films of all time, and I think is a movie that really, like I said, redefined the genre away from the jump scare like monster to more like intimate family storytelling stuff. Conjuring's fantastic. I love that whole franchise. And I'm not as big of a Fast and Furious fan as you are, but Fast 7 is great. I've seen it. I like it. So I'm a James Wan fan for sure.
Something I kind of want to talk about is how this film plays in the DCEU as a whole. And what's really weird to me is how the DCEU feels dead. Like, there's been no news out of the DCEU for the longest time. Yet, at the same time, we still have Shazam coming out. There's still Wonder Woman 1984 coming out. It just is like, really know what's going on with them. But for me, this is like middle tier DCEU. And I'm very curious how the DCEU looks today if the films are rearranged to be released as Man of Steel, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and then Justice League. Like, is Justice League a better movie if Aquaman comes out before it and we don't have like Batman v Superman or Suicide Squad? If those are the first four films that are released, that's a pretty interesting, like, because right there you're going, I like Man of Steel. Wonder Woman's great. Yeah. And Aquaman's pretty fun. And so then it's like, I'd be curious to rewatch Justice League again and be like, okay, am I more interested in it now or is it about the same?
Yeah, I just, it'd be like taking the third Harry Potter and reading it after the fifth Harry Potter. You know, like, they are their own stories, but they are also building on each other. I totally agree that, like, if we hadn't have had Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, and I would even say Justice League, if we've had Man of Steel, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman, and then they come out with the Batman, like, now, however Batman versus Superman is written in that time, it would probably be different and be a lot better because my goodness, that movie is a steaming pile of crap. But yeah, like, as of right now, I would say the DCEU is like 3 for 6. You know, they're batting 500. That's pretty good in terms of baseball. Not so great when you're spending like $600 to $800 million to make these things.
And in all fairness, like, when your competition's Marvel and you're trying to match them blow for blow, Marvel, like, outside of Incredible Hulk, well, actually, Marvel had some stumbles early on. Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 2 are arguably two of their worst films. But I feel like going into, see, and it also has to do with, like, how they set up everything. They developed their characters before they got to the team up. Whereas DC was so excited to get to the team up that they forgot to actually develop the characters in their own thing.
Yeah, and I think that, like, they were so interested in being different than Marvel that they ran too far the other way. Like, it was too raw and grounded, too hopelessness, too faded and dark. Whereas, like, this movie feels very opposite of the aesthetic that they've established so far. This movie is fantastical and optimistic, and it's saturated and it's bright. One thing that I have a frustration with the Marvel series that I think is we're kind of feeling the impact on the DCEU right now with Aquaman and Justice League is ever since Iron Man, everyone's trying to make like witty, snarky superheroes and not letting emotions land. Like, it's okay for a Superman film to be like heavy, and it's okay for, you know, Batman v Superman to like exist and have characters fighting each other and like for it to be serious and intense. Not everything has to be a joke, but also, like, I don't want to feel like I'm going to kill myself at the end of the movie, you know? So there's a balance.
Yeah, there is. We kind of already talked about like where the DCEU's going from here. They have some things on the horizon. Shazam's coming out. Wonder Woman 1984 is coming out. Birds of Prey has been greenlit, or the Harley Quinn movie, whatever it's called, has a huge long title. I'm not sure what's going on with The Flash. They've been through like five different directors at this point, and who knows if that's ever going to get made. And at the same time, they now have to compete for Ezra Miller's screen time because he's in another huge series in Fantastic Beasts. Whether or not that movie ever gets made is beyond me. I am excited about the Batman series. I really hope they recast Ben Affleck. I think he's okay, but I just want a fresh start for that character. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I feel like, and I didn't feel this way after Wonder Woman because it was this, but I feel like they just need like a huge hit. Like Wonder Woman was a huge hit, but they need something else to make them like, and this is good, but, and it's making a bunch of money, but nobody's like, this is game changing. Like Wonder Woman was game changing. They need something once again, that's like a touchstone thing.
Yeah. This is making money because there's really not that much out in theaters right now that's like drawing the like non-film snob people, you know? Like it's either
it's making buku bucks overseas. Yeah.
Yes, that too. It's either like this or Mary Poppins or like a bunch of small indie Oscar-y films that most people don't want to see. And I don't have kids. I don't remember watching Mary Poppins, so I didn't really want to see Mary Poppins. So it was like, yeah, Aquaman. And it's not bad versus like Wonder Woman is a good movie. Like, yes, it has some issues in the third act. Yes, it's a superhero movie, and so it's not for everybody. There's whatever. It's just a good movie. You can watch it and be like, you know what? That was good. I want to watch that again. This movie, not so much. I think that they just need to stick with these character films. Like they went too fast with the mashups and like they're feeling it now, and so just keep making these character films for a while, and then in a couple of years you can have another Justice League and figure it out.
The hardest part is that they really need to do a Flashpoint and just reset the universe, but so far they can't get anybody to sign on for a Flashpoint film.
Well, yeah, because like, that's like being asked to remake like Citizen Kane or something. Yeah. Like this, just in terms of here's the biggest directorial challenge and writing challenge we could give you after we just spent $2 billion on this franchise. Good luck. Yeah. No thanks.
But they have all the pieces in place. Like such a big part of Flashpoint is like Wonder Woman and Aquaman and their battle. And then like Flash and Shazam even plays a bit of a role, and then like Batman's dad, which you could easily just like recast Batman, not even focus on the dad side of things. Like the movie almost writes itself. I'm not saying I could, never mind, that's arrogant of me, but I mean it feels like there's a natural story for this that could play out fairly easily and almost act like a Justice League 2 / set up for the rest of the series. You keep who you want, you discard what you don't want, and you move on from there. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't that hard, and I feel like that would be a huge like blockbuster thing that everybody, and maybe they're like afraid of making that because if it doesn't, that feels very much like a last ditch effort. I don't know, that's a weird time to be DC.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm glad I'm not an executive there right now. Because, well, I don't know. They're making all the wrong decisions. Maybe we could do better. Give us a call.
I want to see Jake Brown as the DC executive, the Kevin Feige of the DCEU. I'm starting the GoFundMe page tonight. Go donate.
Yes.
Or change.org. Change.org. I'm going to start a change.org thing because that's the most important thing that we can be voting on right now.
Yeah, you know who else would appreciate that? My bank account. That was so bad.
If you get it, though, I technically have acted as your agent, and I would like 10%.
I will say, though, there's this YouTube channel called Nando V Movies, and he like fixes scripts, and he did this 3-part, hour-long series about fixing the Justice League. And it's actually really good. So honestly, if anybody from Warner Brothers listens to this for some stupid reason, hire that guy because he fixed all your movies for you. So good job.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, let's get to our final thoughts and ratings for Aquaman.
Yeah, this is a B minus. Like, it's got a lot of issues, but I had a lot of fun. And, you know, if I watched it again at home, the rating's probably going to go down. So yeah. That's not good. But in terms of, like, my theater experience, B minus. It was fun in the theater. And you know what? I'll quote the guy that was next to me in the theater. I can't believe it. They made Aquaman cool. And you know what? He's kind of right. So,
B minus. Yeah, this is a perfect example of when to use a minus on a rating. This is a B minus.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say other than that. It's just, it is what it is. Great parts in it, bad parts in it, high highs, low lows. And overall, just, I had fun. I enjoyed this movie more than I've enjoyed. Well, I guess the Justice League was the last DC movie, wasn't it?
Wow. Yeah. So since, big step up. Well done.
I was going to say since Wonder Woman, but there's really only been one film since Wonder Woman. So, okay. Or two films? When was Suicide? I don't care. Whatever. No, it's a B minus.
Suicide Squad was before Wonder Woman.
Okay, well, wow. So they went Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, and then Wonder Woman?
Yes.
What a weird timeline.
Yes.
And then Justice League. I mean, that's a roller coaster right there.
Yeah, it definitely is.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get to our content of the week. Jake, what is your content of the week?
Yeah, so spent a lot of time with the family recently, and so we've already recommended board games before on this, but we played a lot of Catan, Settlers of Catan, and Ticket to Ride, and Telestrations, which is a game I'd never played before but was hilarious. And so go play some games with some people you love. And then also, my family was awesome enough to get my wife and I a Sonos Beam soundbar for our television, and it is a game changer, you guys. I would highly recommend. I know they're a little expensive, but if you can afford getting a quality soundbar for your television, it makes the home movie watching experience it's just a totally different watching experience that makes a huge difference. So would highly recommend that.
Awesome. I've been watching The Incredibles 2 in pieces with my wife and my son before he goes to sleep at night. And I feel like I was kind of like wishy-washy. I haven't listened to our review, but just from memory of like at the time, I was pretty wishy-washy on it at the time of seeing it. But man, that movie's a whole lot of fun. That's just a
It is.
Good movie. Like, good for you, Pixar. Well done. After all that time, you put out a just solid sequel with a lot of fun. And it's like, the more that I watch things with my son and watch things like that he watches, or the things that are like geared towards kids, you start to realize like there is very, very bad kid stuff, and then there is very, very good. And The Incredibles is definitely in one of those like very, very good things. So
yeah,
good job, Pixar. Incredibles 2. That's all we have for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with a new episode and new review. If you enjoyed listening to us, please go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, review us, and go share us with your friends and family. If you want to know more about us or find all of our episodes somewhere else, you can go to popcornoptional.com. If you want to interact with us, the best place to do that is on Twitter at popcornoptional. My name is Cameron Salina. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at 321CamiTime, or you can find me on Letterboxd at CSalina. Jake, where can we find you online?
You can find me at jakebrown.tv. That's my website and my Instagram. And I'm on Letterboxd at jake_brown.
In the words of the great Truman, good morning, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.